I realized I didn't want to not know why things happened. I didn't want to know why stock markets crashed or why terrorists want to blow up a building. And so I really started researching all of this stuff. And that's kind of how I got into sort of Marx and anarchism, is through reading Zinn and Noam Chomsky, and then that would lead you to Emma Goldman or Guy Debord. And it just, it's like a trail of crumbs that I've been following really ever since then. But it's one of the luxuries of being a full-time artist, is that you spend a lot of time traveling and reading and like doing that research and kind of educating myself kind of became part of my job at that point, because I just wanted to be able to talk about things. And so, you know, that's basically the path I've been on.
What accounts for the change sonically?
What do you mean, like the most recent one specifically?
Well, I would say the most recent one and the one before it too had a certain sound, the real dramatic, somewhat sparse, impactful, like soundtrack to a riot sort of stuff, whereas back in 2000 it was much more dense, maybe psychedelic.
I mean, honestly, it's like whatever's around. If I was in L.A., I'd be making L.A. beach, you know? Just wherever you are and whatever's available to you, that's kind of what you make, what I make anyway. Because most of my albums are collaborations. So around that time, I gravitated towards people that made music that sounded, I would say DJ Shadow-ish, for less of a better word.
Yeah.
And then gradually I started liking more electronic sounds. You know, I'm someone who records all the time, so I like to constantly be trying to record the different kinds of music and making different kinds of songs. Otherwise, it just gets really boring. Like, if I'm not having fun, I just can't do it, you know? Like, when I'm having fun, I can make an album in 2 months. But if I'm, like, stressed out and overthinking it, I don't get anything done. And so that's pretty much how it's happened. You know, I've been listening to, I've always been fascinated with folk music and the way artists like Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie could plainly communicate to working people through song. And I realized as I was going to these shows and watching like these loquacious rappers just, you know, spinning verbal webs, on stage, it's like you don't get anything out of that. There's no communication there. You know, I played in front of enough crowds where I realized, like, only when I really slowed down and said what I was talking about did people get it. And I don't want my music to not be able to communicate, because why do I bother writing anything if I can't communicate? And so with those ideas sort of more in the back of my head, as I've been listening to Jay-Z and, you know, all this Young Jeezy and all this gangster rap over the last 10 years. And so just one day I just was like, I'm just going to rap on this beat. And I really liked it, and so I just kept doing it. And a lot of people were like, what? This is terrible. and I'm like, I don't care, you know. But I like just being able to do anything, man. I mean, even early soul stuff had a kind of no-limit edge to it, motif or something. And I've always liked that kind of music. But again, a good reason to make music more sparse is so that it can communicate, you know? Like I want people to get something out of my music. I'm not just... I mean, man, I gotta play 150 shows a year or something, and I gotta like say what I'm trying to say as fast as I can possibly say it while people just stare at me, you know? Like,
no, I think it's great the direction you're going in, especially with the lyrical content, you know, making it more streamlined and easier for people to understand. That's the whole point of it. So, getting into politics, do you consider yourself an anarchist? Can you briefly explain what that means to you?
And I think it's important for what it means to me personally. What it means to everyone else is total. Everybody has their own anarchy. That's kind of what makes it awesome. I mean, I would just say the tenet of anarchism is that we don't, people shouldn't be ruled. People don't need to be governed. They don't need to be controlled. We don't need hierarchy in our society. Everyone, if everyone is equal, then everyone should have equal power. You know, and so how would that, so how does it work? It works where, you know, people organize into collectives or unions or, you know, or whatever. Just me. I don't want to be in a collective. I don't function well in a collective, so I just want to be off with my farm doing my thing. But it would also be nice to have a say, hey, is our town, is our city, is our whatever, our federated body that we live with, do we want to nuke South Korea? Like, you know, do we want to bail out banks? Under direct democracy, these decisions you could just make on your computer. And so with technology and, I mean, a lot of things about government are just outdated. We have elected officials who go down and they're irrevocable for, you know, 2 to 4 to 6 years. But the reason you had a state representative or a congressman back in the day was because it would take a horse and buggy, you know, a month and a half to cross the frontier. And we have digital communication now. We don't, like, we need to rethink the way that we're ruling ourselves, or deciding not to rule ourselves. Other things that I really like about anarchism are, it's just the basic belief that humans are good and that we don't need rulers. We don't need to be ruled. We don't need to be controlled. You know, capitalism has destroyed the earth.
You know, I think something in our generation that's pretty common is becoming disconnected from politics because it seems so depressing and hopeless. How do you continue to be involved and feel like there's a point to it all?
Well, I think that's, I mean, that's true. And again, that's one of the cool things about the philosophy of anarchism is that you don't look to the state to solve your problems. I mean, that in itself becomes a whole new way of looking at things. And it makes it, you know, it's a challenge. But it's even more of a challenge to try to appeal to the government because they don't care. You know, a lot of people, when they talk to me, they're like, oh, you must be angry. How are you so angry all the time? And the truth is, I'm not angry. And part of it is because I have this outlet. You know, anytime me and my friends want to get together and have our voices heard on something, we can do it. We can throw down. We can, you know, do a sit-in. We can do whatever we want. And that's a really cool power to have. Once you've, one of the strengths of what Occupy is that it brought so many people together that wouldn't have otherwise known. And so when you have a few people that you like to do activism with, it becomes a whole another hobby or something part of your life that's so fun. You know, there's periods in my life where it completely takes over my entire life and I don't get to do anything else. But it's like, it's honestly some of the most rewarding and fun work or whatever, it's not the work, but things that you can do with your time. So people who think that it's not worth it, well, you know, is it worth it to just play Xbox or watch Netflix all the time or be on Facebook? Like, is that, like, what's your alternative? Your alternative is to do nothing. Whereas if everybody did this same thing, we could wake up in a whole different world. And so, yeah, I mean, I get why people are disenfranchised and feel like nothing matters. Sometimes I do too. And that's when I pull back and just do whatever. But it's, so what if nothing matters? That's my thing. That's not a reason to just not kick some in the air, you know? I would say precisely because it seems like you can't win is just like freeze it up and just have a blast with it then, you know? I don't know.
What do you see as your current role in politics and in music as it relates to politics?
Well, I mean, I know what I, but the main work I do is, right now, is really just media stuff, working with various, you know, media collectives, I guess I'll say. I don't know, it constantly changes, you know? I think as far as, like, music is concerned, I think I'm just a musician who teeter-totters between activism and music and is, you know, is sort of expressing a more kind of, I guess, radical viewpoint than what people are used to hearing in rap music or music in general outside of punk.
Do you have any long-term goals as an artist or as an activist?
My long-term goal, yeah, is to, like, live on a creek somewhere and have a be off the grid and be doing cool shit out in the middle of nowhere. That's a dream. As far as long-term projects with music, really my long-term project with music is just to keep having fun with it and to continue to make decent income with it. And outside of that, I want to, you know, it's really hard for me to say what I'm going to do right now long-term, especially with activism stuff. I feel like everything I'm doing in both worlds is leading towards something, but I don't really know what. I'm just kind of doing what I think needs to be done at that point and just trying to always be critical about it. I'm really hesitant with activist stuff. Like, I see a lot of people who have all these, like, big ambitions with their activist work, and it ends up becoming, like, a job to them or something. My main goal, pretty much all I'm ever interested in doing, is stirring up a sort of revolutionary sense. Like, I'm not dedicated to any one subject, what be it, you know, economics or the NSA or fracking or the Keystone Pipeline. I'm kind of an opportunist, and I just jump from thing to thing, whatever I think has the most sort of radicalizing potential at that moment. And so that's kind of the work I'm focused on in Denver. So hopefully to build some lasting institutions in this city and to continue this struggle so that for whatever happens, at least where we're living, we're ready for when the shit goes down, you know?
You've been outspoken about your views on artists in general and their responsibility as it relates to influencing culture and politics. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I can. I mean, again, like I said earlier, I feel I'm always a little all over the place with the way I feel about art and politics. It's important to note, like, so many people's views are shaped through the music they listen to. You know, if the first album I heard was a 50 Cent song instead of a, you know, Public Enemy album, you know, I could have turned out different. And so I think it's really, you know, when I think with the artists that really influenced me, people like Public Enemy, Boogie Down Productions, X-Clan, at a very impressionable age where I was, like, curious, you know, that kind of music, at least in hip-hop, is very absent. And so, I mean, I do think artists do have a bit of a responsibility to sort of model better behavior or, you know, leave breadcrumbs that lead to something better. Or at least just not have terrible morals. So much of the music that we hear nowadays just is so devoid of moral substance and is so negative or, you know, whatever, homophobic, sexist, violent, you know. It hurts the ability of people to sort of go out and find that information on their own. You know, I would listen to Boogie Down Productions. I'd hear them talking about the Bible. I would go read those sections of the Bible. I would hear Public Enemy talking about Huey P. Newton. I would go read Huey P. Newton and Malcolm X. And now, you know, what are people being told to read? Nothing. You know, The Secret, Get Rich. So, yeah, I think artists have a really important role to play, and they can do a lot more. I've always felt that, you know, artists and 60s artists played a huge role in mobilizing numbers and mass demonstrations. And you don't see people taking those kind of risks anymore because they're so comfortable. But in the same sense, I mean, I have friends that don't really, you know, are just rapping, and that's cool. You know, not maybe it sounds sort of condescending or whatever for me to sit here and say I think people should do this, but you know, that's my opinion. That's what I think people should do.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you have the platform, and especially if you have the consciousness and the smarts to talk about something that matters as opposed to the regular image-based garbage, then you should. But
Well, yeah. I mean, it's so funny. Like, I was just in New Zealand hanging out with at this festival with a couple of festivals with Daedalus and Astronautilus. And we probably had a four-day, you know, continuous marathon just, you know, talking about everything from, you know, hacktivism to privilege to capitalism, and just, you know, really having these intense conversations that lasted forever. And I'm like, and I left that experience like, wow, these guys are so smart. And if you're an artist, and so it just made me think to myself, like, what are these people doing in their free time? So you're an artist, you're getting paid, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 a show. You know, you really only got to play two shows a year, and you're balling. But anyway, you're just playing a couple shows, and then what are you doing with the rest of your time? Like, people have so much free time, and they're not reading, they're not, you know, they're not engaging in their brains. They're not growing, you know, at least intellectually. And it's like, it's such a wasted opportunity to have so much time to do whatever you want and to not, and I want to learn more about why things are messed up. I mean, especially the richer you get, the more you realize, like, wow, I have it all. Like, this is absurd. I live like royalty, you know. I just jump around on stage and throw Gatorade on white kids. You know, this is awesome.
Yeah. What are some artists that you think are doing a good job as activists?
Well, I would say for sure, you know, Ramshackle Glory. I would say Boots Riley, for sure. I mean, when Occupy happened, he threw himself right in there,
yeah.
Stayed active. And, you know, I'm like over in Australia, and he's doing or New Zealand, and I saw a poster for him doing like a Marxism in 2014 conference on race, and I was like, it's like that's inspiring to me. People like Jared Paul, he's more of a slam poet right now, but he makes songs, and he, you know, everywhere he goes, it's like he has like this solid DIY network of activists and musicians, and you know, he really does a good job kind of finding the middle ground for that stuff. You know, who else is doing cool activists?
Even non-musicians, I mean, like all artists, I think have a place in politics if they want to apply themselves to it. Like, for example, Banksy, I think a lot of the stuff he's done is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even, I mean, people make fun of celebrities, but, you know, celebrities, like movie stars, people like, what's that? I forget that girl, that woman's name. But, you know, you always hear about some movie star taking a stance on an issue, and then it helps that issue along. You know, especially when it comes time for fundraising, for bail and stuff. When you get those environmental celebs to tweet out bail support hotlines for, you know, anti-fracking or pipeline stuff, that's where a lot of money comes from. You know, those people throw down when they can.
Do you think there's a place in addition for art and entertainment made just for the sake of beauty or comedy?
Yeah, of course. You know, it's not... I mean, I have this debate with my wife a lot because some of my comments about all art requiring every art has to be antagonistic, and you know, she definitely calls bull on that. So I don't know. I I think that, yeah, I mean, sometimes it's fun to just laugh. Right? Sometimes it's fun to just laugh at something stupid. Sometimes, I mean, I watch 24. I mean, a lot of the TV that I watch is so, like, a lot of the media I consume is just ignorant, mindless, fun stuff, whether it's a video game or an action film or the new Lord of the Rings or, you know, whatever. So I think all art should exist. It doesn't all have to be political.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see people doing more stuff.
What are some of your political issues that you're focusing on at the moment as far as activism or just stuff that you're paying attention to in the news?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, I'm kind of, like, really focused on my album right now, to be perfectly honest. But the NSA stuff really concerns me. Alienation is, like, my biggest issue that I think about the most is just the way that having technology mediate all these different parts of our lives and ourselves at this point. I just really worry about where technology is headed and all these new methods of control that are emerging that we don't fully understand yet, and how that we're kind of turning into this weird kind of free-range cattle, totalitarianistic, almost Matrix-esque world where, you know, look at YouTube, look at what goes viral, even if you read things like the Huffington Post, you know, it's like, it's just a litany of nonsense. You're just surrounded by this feed of nonsense all the time. So I'm always, I'm always thinking about that. I'm always thinking, like, with every Google update, I'm just, more and more, like, my ears tingle. Right now, the main thing I'm concerned with is the NSA stuff, I guess, and the alienation. I've been really concerned about the Keystone XL pipeline. Of course I'm concerned about the complete and utter destruction of our environment. I'm concerned about animals. I'm concerned about, I'm concerned about everything. I mean, that's my problem. And I think that's the problem with organizing today, is that it's like that Naomi Klein book, Shock Doctrine, where all at once, you're just blitzed. Like, one bad thing doesn't happen. One bad thing happens. Before you can respond to that, you get hit with 10 others. And I feel like ever since 9/11, it's been like that constantly. And I just feel like people are trying to reclaim what they've lost. And while they're trying to reclaim what they've lost, they keep losing more and more and more. So I'm pretty much concerned about everything, except for... I don't have a problem with people teaching evolution. I don't have a problem with that.
Day by day, the planet slips, foils over my human like heart, altar of a couch, pig like skin, food for the butchers and the auctioneer, shade my fur, my bottom top, long must the block, a medieval clock, tested hands, beat me to a pulp, wake up to insult, pat yourself on the back, pat yourself on the back, if it ain't broken, symbiosis is not just fumes, for the womb to the tomb to the emergency room, I love this world, despite the world, materialist lock inside of a room, what's history, but a name in the dust, food for thoughts, so many years starting at us. This pyramid, this limping sphinx, this moss, this man got flogged, you know, the dawn, we couldn't break his arms. The makers of napalm, champion got the world. And who am I now? Renegade gnome, European immigrant, entity, militarized zone. Lost my mind a couple of times. Always get it back before I'm permanently gone. The highway, try to eat me, get to split me out. River round, mother men see me when the pulpit gets forced, it's wanting to bow me. Abraham keeps on slinging, don't sell. And if we get turned, you're sure to burn. Sit in the chamber, wait for fire. They'll remember more than ever. No one will save you from the jaws of a monster. Watch you suffer. Grin like Santa flying over the ghetto. Turn your country well. It's $15 in a bus ride home. Ticket to France. 3 cheers for the status quo. No 4 and 8 for the baddest pro. Watch the world decay. 15 pods. These things, Molotov, not disposable arms. No delusions coming.
All aboard Noah's Ark.
No delusions coming.
All aboard Noah's Ark. 100 light years of running. Universe is shrinking. How do you feel when your meteors crash? 100 light years of running. Everyone you know is on a tiny blue dot. Disappearing off into darkness.
Once again, that was 100 Light Years and Running by Soul and the Skywriter Band from 2007. We'll conclude our interview with Soul in a minute, and we'll hear a new unreleased song of his. But first, we've got some local events coming up. The Animal Film Festival, put on by CAPE, Center for Animal Protection and Education, is this Saturday, March 1st, at the Center for the Arts. Children's movies play from 11 a.m. to 1, and general audience films are from 2 to 9 p.m., and there will be free popcorn. Tickets are at Briar Patch and the Bookseller, or online at animalfilmfestival.org. People wishing to enroll a child in kindergarten at either Forest Charter School or Ready Springs School should contact those schools promptly, because the deadline for applying is imminent. You can reach Forest Charter School at 530-265-4823 and Ready Springs School at 530-432-1118. More info is available at nevco.org. And ARP Tax Aid provides free tax services for persons of all ages and most income levels. Interested parties must make an appointment. Call the Nevada County Helpline at 530-273-2273. You're listening to The Mole Hole on KVMR. And now back to our
exclusive interview
with rapper and political activist Soul, where we continue our discussion on the state of the world, veganism, and Soul's latest album, Crimes Against Totality, and his upcoming album, Death Drive. It can be definitely dark and scary thinking about a lot of that stuff. I find some hope in technology, in the advent of artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and hacking. Do you think about that stuff at all?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I work pretty closely with a lot of anons. I think that's a slippery slope. I think anytime we think that, like, technology can fix us, we're in trouble. I mean, that's what I like about the culture series, is that, you know, all these things you just said, that's like, you know, the society is governed essentially by artificial intelligence, and people are kept alive by nanobots. And,
it could all go horribly wrong with all that technology as well, but at least I see some possibility of hope there.
Let me put it this way. I'm super fascinated with that stuff and super interested in it. Things are happening so fast. I'm very interested in Ray Kurzweil and the singularity, and all that stuff is super interesting. Especially the idea that you could get a nano shot that could keep you alive forever. I think I would take the shot. even though, but then someone else is like, you know, it's just another means of control, dude. You know, those nanobots will explode in your brain as soon as you try to speak up, you know? So it's like, that's, I mean, my problem with technology is that for every good thing that comes out of it, there's always so many negatives, that, you know, I understand why there's a really strong choir of people who just want to end it all.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's easy to say let's not have any technology, because, you know, we're not dying of smallpox right now or whatever.
Shifting focus a bit, you've been a vegan for over a decade. Can you talk about what motivates you to stick to that diet?
I've been vegetarian since I was 11, and I've been vegan since I was 24. So I guess I've been vegan for 12 years now. You know, I was never totally motivated to be a vegan. I never wanted to eat meat because I didn't want to eat animals. And so I just never, but I always loved cheese and milk, cheese and ice cream. And then one summer I went vegan, and then just to try it out with my girl. And then when she left, I started eating cheese again, and it totally grossed me out. Being vegan, I lost a lot of weight because I had allergies and asthma. Not drinking milk gives me significantly less phlegm and mucus and blowing my nose. So it just made me feel generally healthier to be vegan. So once I went vegan, that was pretty much it for me. And there's been a few moments where I've been like, all right, you know, I could go back to cheese. And then, all, bam, Daiya comes out, or some new vegan cheese comes out that's really good. So it's like, all right, forget it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm motivated to do it because I like it. It keeps me healthy. At first when I did it, I thought it wasn't healthy and that eventually I was going to have to eat meat. But once you really learn how to cook a good macrobiotic, vegan, healthy meal, you're much healthier than a meat eater. But I grew up with the myth that, you know, the only healthy people were the ones that eat meat, and that's almost laughable today, you know?
And your dogs are also vegan, right?
No, they're not vegan.
Oh, okay.
They're vegetarians, but really they're freakish.
I heard you say that your dogs are basically anarchists, that they're wild without discipline. What's it like cohabitating with dogs in that capacity?
It's not that bad. It's just, you know, I love hanging out with dogs, man. Just, you know, from a mental health perspective, it's so good to keep animals around, like, we're constantly just make you happy, I think. Just being around a funny little loving set of creatures. You know, but yeah, I wouldn't say my dogs are crazy. I mean, they don't run off. They don't attack people. They just do their thing, you know. But yeah, they are pretty much vegetarian. But every once in a while, we'll give them a bone or eggs, cheese. And sometimes they'll, you know, sneak a chicken bone or something.
Do they know, like, no, like, do you tell them no or sit or anything like that?
Sit, or, they know sit. Yeah, they've been learning no.
All right, so they're not completely wild then.
No, man.
All right. What are some of your recent music projects? Crimes Against Totality is the most recent album, right?
Yep.
Okay, I want to play Jungle of the Real. Can you talk about that song?
Yeah, I mean, that was just like some, I don't know, it was like during a time when I was listening to a lot of lectures about Baudrillard and Slavoj Žižek kind of stuff, and I just really like the way that they talk about the real, and it's a play on this book called The Desert of the Real, which was just a critique of the sort of media blitz of the first Iraq war and how the war was waged on TV. And so that song is just, it's a kind of old school soul-ish kind of track that's more kind of the loquacious, abstract poetry soul with just coming from a more postmodern philosophy influence.
All right, this is Jungle of the Real off of Crimes Against Totality, and you can find it at soulone.org. That's SOLEONE.org.
I'm rich in Texas, psychogeographic in conflict. Pythons wrapped around my head like I'm living in a microchip. Waterboard me, throw me in an isolation cell. After I face the violent squad, see more than hell. Inner beast, please don't shit what you eat. Taste the rain as it hits you, and remember talk is cheap. Far cheaper than a coffin, can cost you your life if you are to turn. America's broken soup kitchen, you out of line. Everything here is edible, especially human minutes. The human soul burnt to a crisp in 15 New York minutes. My tribe marooned, antisocial, getting it. We're having everything you want, equated with nothingness. Don't take handouts, bribes, or nooses. Only accept the fate of your choosing. Only chase comments and clean currents. Chasing the voice in my head till it speaks for me. Throw me off the cliff and land me on my feet for me. Copies of copies wanna stop me, but I don't die easily. Blood to be bleached at ease, the wet carpets can lie peacefully. Raging fallacy, wither or evolving molecules. Peace is impossible. In the jungle of the world, nothing is stable. In the jungle of the world, fiber optic lines climbs where trees once were. Man will be the last monkey to be faced with eviction. To face the violent squad, it'll feel like a kiss. In the jungle of the world, nothing is stable. Man-eating plants all around me, hacking my way through the pettiness, trying to get free from this heaviness. It's hot in my heart, in my gut. Phoenixes drown. I dodge arrows that are virtual. Ticks on my neck, I take it all personal. Every man is an island, every island is under attack. Every war feels lost until the winning blow is finally struck. Let the dominoes fall where they may. Buildings too, bankers from the windows and cruise ships, all suicidal on the beaches like lost whales. All dying in the heat of battle like philosophy. All bark and bow, we live in foul times. All writing for the fight to learn from failure. Air conditioned nightmare, we breathe in stale air. From clay we were raised to feed on foreign cars. And I'm still hungry with the hole in my belly. In my cell I see the light, or is it folly? The jungle of the world, nothing was stable. In the jungle of the world, fiber optic lines climbing past the social gathering. Being called free was almost possible. Man was the last monkey to be faced with eviction. He faced the violent squad, it didn't feel like a kiss. There is no jungle, the jungle of the world, it is gone. The things you hold dear have the love for. In the desert of the real, everything's stable. In the desert of the real, can't turn it off, can't shut it down. So that's left of man. In the rain, we need to remember the lines in the sea.
Are there any other recent music projects you want to talk about?
Well, I have my new album, Death Drive, which by the time this interview comes out, we'll have launched our Indiegogo campaign for and released our first single. So I'm very excited about that. It's an album with me and this guy, DJ Payne One, and that comes out in May. But that's like my main project I've been working on. Other than that, I have this White Noise project, which is my instrumental project, and my wife works with me on that, and it's kind of like it's pretty much our band. So that's pretty fun, making music with my girl. Other than that, those are the main projects I'm working on. I'm working on music with Cars and Trains right now. He's a producer / songwriter from Portland, and so that stuff is just starting. But my main focus this year is going to be Soul and Pain 1. But usually when I have one thing that's working like that, I end up kind of going crazy with side projects in between.
A few years ago, you released a book, The Pyre, which is basically a long poem with illustrations. Do you plan to do any more text-based publications?
Yeah, actually. There's one book that's actually being pitched around right now, and if that happens, that will be awesome. But that will definitely come out, whether it gets picked up by a publisher or not.
Is that going to be poetry again or something else?
No, it's going to be sort of like, I actually shouldn't say what it is. I'll just say it'll have interviews with academics and activists and, kind of like a book about philosophy, I guess. Yeah, it's right now it's like in super early stages and I don't want to say anything. Sometimes you jinx stuff if you talk about it too soon, especially when other people are involved. but yeah, other than that, I want to write another poetry book, and I want to write a cookbook. I've had this idea to do a cookbook for a long time. So yeah, I could see myself writing a sci-fi book too, but I don't know if I'll ever. I don't know if I could. Pull that one off.
You got a tour coming up soon?
Yeah, I'm going on tour with Pat the Bunny from Ramshackle Glory.
Nice. Where are you guys headed?
We're just a typical West Coast loop. We start in Tucson, go up the West Coast, go as far east as Denver, cut down, end it in New Mexico, and then we both go home. He goes to Tucson, I go back to Denver.
That concludes my exclusive interview with Soul. Again, you can find all his music as well as his podcast, blog, and more at soulone.org. There's also info there on the upcoming album Death Drive and a campaign to fund its release. You can donate as little as $1 and receive a free copy of the album, or higher donations will get you additional cool gifts. And finally, here's a brand new unreleased track from the album. Is called Coal and features guest vocalist Decomposure.
I don't want to shop at the company store. I won't build my home out of poison oak. The rider gets the prize for the strive of the horse. The beast gets the bullet when its leg gets broke.
Put this with phone numbers, I forgot. All those stories I don't tell cause I don't give a shit. All my savings, put it on my teeth. I do what I believe, even if it means I'm living beyond my means. To me it's nothing but water under the bridge. Ask a captain about the sea, ask Captain Ahab about that abyss. Someday I'll make a record where I do not say abyss. I'll be dead then, by my grandkids, play him this. Tell him Tim Holland was not a Rolling Stone, he was a brick. Through the window of the U.S. Mint, what they represent. We ain't just trying to pay the rent, trying to make a dent. Cause the future never comes unless it's carried in by crows. We so unphotogenic, ain't no truth in photogenic. On a psychopath, death driving my genetics. I try to take it slow, but when I'm slow, bringing the paramedics. Dead men don't rap, ain't no Puffy gonna bring me back. Don't keep your enemies close, stick with the ones that you trust. Cause nothing's promised in this stolen land of broken promise. I'm an honest man in a pile of shit. We call a living not to the fullest, fullest bloated. Why the poor stay bloated in a yoga snob? Self-absorbed, they eat organic, not like the Renaissance, where obese was rich. I'm rich in space, rich in blood, psychogeographic in love. Psychogeographic running from helicopters while I sleep. But that's some other shit. I still hold the oxygen down, holding my ground till I make that bloody gargling sound. This party ain't over till we bring the whole city down. This party ain't over until we bring the whole system down. We'll be right back.
about my life I live it. You can read my diary when I'm dead or in prison. What you wanna know? Met my girl in Telegraph 2001. We moved to Spain, got some dogs, lived in the mountains. All I gotta say is don't sell yourself short. Life is short, time is cheap, and picket fences run a dime a dozen. No one was born to bag groceries or scrub shit. I drove a cab in 2005, but what's some when times are hard, it make me wanna work hard. When I hear a whack rap with nothing to say, make me wanna rap hard. Every time I felt I failed, I wish I'd gone to school. But ain't no difference between a cemetery and a school. Pick up a book, pick up a shop of words to live by. Unalienate your labor, words to stay free by. Peace to everyone in the world, do what they love, what they like. And all of those on the outside, wondering what it's like. History is written by the fool. The game is to be played, not sold. Don't cry to me about how life's so cold. So cold, so cold. I wanna jump at the company store. The game is to be played, not sold.
The company store. I won't build my home out of poison oak. The rider gets the prize for the straggling horse. The beast gets the bullet when its leg gets broke. Steve Jobs was a hero to most. He couldn't build a damn thing on his own. The vampire king prancing on the backs of his drones. Cause those who burn brightest never mind the cold. Never mind the cold.
Thank you.
That was Knit for Snow by Ruby My Dear from the album Remains of Shapes to Come. And now it's time for an
investigative report
examining the general public's aversion to mimes. Everyone hates mimes, but why? Napoleon once had over 500 mimes executed. It is said that even Jesus refused to bless mimes on principle. While many people have a strong dislike for clowns, it seems that everyone in the world, except for mimes, hates mimes. But why? In my undying quest to bring Molehole listeners tough-to-find answers to questions that matter, I went on Google in search of one such answer. And behold, I have brought forth several. Number 1. Mimes that do live street performances sometimes use members from the crowd as part of their act. They can't ask for volunteers, though, because they do not talk, so they just grab someone. If that someone is you, and you're not that into it, it can be uncomfortable and embarrassing. Anyone who's been snared in this fashion and didn't enjoy it almost certainly hates mimes. Number 2. It's French in origin, and people love to hate the French and anything they create. Number 3. Mimes are simply and utterly creepy. Number 4. Because they should learn the words. And finally, local HJ of the internet proclaims, because mimes are some smug motherfuckers. Look at this smug ass bitch. What the fuck do you have to be smug about, mime? And then in all caps, huh? You're a goddamned mime. That is why people hate mimes, and that concludes this
investigative report.
Next, this is Baby by The Child of Love.
Baby, 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 baby.
You're listening to KVMR. For their support, we would like to thank Anything Green Hydroponics, a locally owned indoor and outdoor garden supply providing organics, lighting systems, nutrients, and more at 17551 Penn Valley Drive, open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, weekends 10 to 4. AnythingGreenHydroponics.com on the web or 530-432-4733 is where you can get more info on them. And also Sears Hometown Stores, locally owned and located on Idaho Maryland Road across from Reby's in Grass Valley and next to Staples in Auburn. Now offering lease to own for everybody on home appliances and lawn and garden equipment. Sears Hometown Stores in Auburn and Grass Valley are supporters of KVMR Community Radio. We're going to wrap things up and make way for Keith West and the Fusion Intrusion. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Till then, you can hear additional episodes of The Molehole with swear words every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. at spaz.org. And you can contact me with comments or suggestions at jonah.themole@gmail.com. Before I go, here's a song from David Liebehart, who I'll be interviewing on the next episode of The Molehole. We'll be discussing his relationships with extraterrestrials. This is Losing Everything from the David Liebehart mixtape. Good night, I love you.
Losing everything makes me feel like a loser. Losing things, why can't I gain them again? I lost my cell phone on the bus. I wish Jesus would help me all the muss. I lost Sonia Rood, who I love so much. She doesn't even want to speak to me anymore endlessly. Losing my wife, being lonely in my life, losing my favorite hat, makes me so upset it's a bad rap. Losing my best friend, George Kerr, his sister told him to have nothing to do with me, was his proverbs. Losing